So Zeke and I meet. We meet as a company about every week, and I meet with Zeke for the company. And I kept saying, you have to go out. You have to network. You have to sell the business. You have to do this. And he kept saying, I can't because of this. I can't because of this. I can't because of this. And lo and behold, one day he shows up and he says, it's resistance. I've been afraid and I didn't even know it. All those voices, this is in my language. Resistance is all those voices that make sense to you and they sound familiar, they sound smart, and so you don't do it. He showed up and he said, I'm just afraid. And the next day he went door to door. I think he hit 20 places, and the 17th or 18th place he hit was a little franchise place, and he got all their business for last year and this year. Wow. And it was like, whoa! I said, well, you just need 20 more and 20 more and 20 more to get those clients, and he did that. So he pushed against the resistance and sought other business, and then the Dave Ramsey thing has really helped a lot coming into October, and will change the nature of the company. But there's that resistance is there, and we want to push against that in all different ways. If you'll turn to page 12, 5 steps to clarifying your vision. And I put it, it's not, I'm not going to, you don't need to take a lot of notes here, but you want to write whatever resonates with you. Is I put it because it is that ideal concept you have for your life, the preferred future for your life, the thing that you really want. It is, I want it. This is what I want. This is what I'm going after. It is this, okay? And you're the only one who gets to define that it. Not your background, not your class, not whatever money you have, not the size you are, not the age you are. You decide that it, all right? But the steps to clarifying your vision is to find it. You got to find it. So that's the first one, is to find it. In order to find it, you got to work. You have to work. You got to work. This tonight is work. This tonight is part of the hard work that most people won't step out and learn something new about clarifying vision. Setting goals is vision, is work, and we'll do some of that. Find it. You have to find it. You have to listen for it. You have to listen. Now, that's still number one. All right? You have to find it. The way to find it is you work for it and you listen for it. You will not find your vision. You will not be able to put words to your dreams, words to your heart's desire, without quiet moments, okay? Specifically geared towards hearing what's in your heart to do. You have to be quiet. And that's quite hard work in our noisy world. I mean, it's amazing to me how noisy our world is, and yet we have complete control in our homes and in our cars, yet we choose to flip things on all the time and be distracted by good, which can keep us from putting that into words. You have to listen for it. You can also listen for it on the inside, but also on the outside, that people tell you. You can get people to help you find what that vision is. And if you have faith in something or someone other than yourself, then you can listen and respond to that faith. All those things are important to do. The second one, so you're going to find it, then you're going to write it down. You have to move it out of your heart. You have to move it out of your heart and put it onto paper. And just simply put it on a piece of paper. So this workbook will be a resource guide for that. When you start losing vision, when you start losing hope, you're like, I'm doing a bunch of stuff, but I don't feel like I'm going anywhere, producing anything, or creating art. For me, creating art is a Sunday morning service and a workshop here and coaching sessions. That's what it is. That's what some of the things are and some activities that we do. That's my art. That's all art is what I'm producing, what's coming out of my life. My art's not what I paint or me singing or dancing. Okay, that would be awful. But the thing is, it's my art is what I produce. And it might be a service. It might be Zeke's art and Chris's art is their company. And that's what they do. All right, so you've got to write it. You've got to get it on this little piece. You've got to put it on a piece of paper. It's so hard to write. This is what I want to do. This right here. This is what I want my family to look like. This is my vision for my mind this next year. Got to put it on paper. The reason you put on this piece of paper is so you can read it to yourself tomorrow. You go, oh gosh, that's awful. How silly was I to think I could ever have that? To be embarrassed by it. Because when you have a moment of clarity for your vision, your heart will leap. But then when you write it down and you clarify it, you'll be embarrassed. Because it'd be like, I can never have never experienced that. But it doesn't matter. Vision's not based on that. So you write it down also so you can adapt it and clarify it. And it saves it so you don't forget it. But just think about it. Were you writing your vision down, which you just did in seven areas? That's the first hurdle that you're going to take in pursuing your vision and setting the right goals. That's the first external hurdle. That's your first thing that helps you hear the resistance. External activity helps you hear inward thoughts. It exposes the lies and the resistance that you have. So if you're choosing not to come up with some physical hurdles, like writing it down, taking a class, spending some money on it, hiring a weight loss coach, joining a club, getting better educated, those are all external hurdles. But if you won't do that to pursue your vision, if you won't take an external step, there's an internal problem going on. If you want to have a life of vision, live a life of vision, you're going to have obstacles. And when you have an obstacle, it's like, awesome, that means I'm going in the right direction. If you're going in circles, you have a well-worn path, there's no obstacles. There's nothing in your way. You're not going anywhere. You're not blessing anybody. You're not taking anybody with you. You're not changing the world. You're not living a life of your full potential. Okay? So this is your first external hurdle. And these outward or external hurdles represent inward hurdles that you've got to overcome. So you're going to find it. You're going to write it. You're going to clarify it. Clarifying, we're going to do that in just a minute with our vision. That means you're going to find your why. Why is this important? Why do I like it? What is it? Now, I'm going to go back to the family thing. For me, having a family, a table where you're talking and it's gentle, kind, intimate, that's not my family experience. I want that even though I've never experienced that in my family growing up. All right, I want that brotherhood. I want that friendship. I want that companion. I want that listening and joking and kindness and laughing and then spiritual, then just practical and funny and memories of when we did things together and before we knew each other. I want that. So it's deep within me to have that. And I know that's there. I know that's there. But when I write it down, that's something I can actually do every month in my house. I can do that. I can meet people. I can do that physically. I can physically do something that'll be part of my vision that's connected to my heart. And that's sitting at a dinner table over here and inviting people over and making Krisha do all the cooking because I am awful at that too. I can't do a lot. I can't cook, dance, sing. I can dance, but nobody wants me to. So clarifying it also means putting some numbers and dates to it when you're doing your goals. Put numbers, dates, things like that. And then the fourth thing is to declare it. So we have find it, write it, clarify it, declare it. You're going to tell someone, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want my spiritual life to look like. This is what I want my job to look like. You're going to declare it. You don't have to declare it. Don't declare it on Facebook. In fact, it used to be like, hey, put it on Facebook, let people know what you're going to do and be really bold. But what they're finding, that's a cathartic activity. That when you post somebody and you tell everybody, that makes you feel good. Like, I did something great. I'm a hero. I posted it on Facebook that I'm going to jog every day. But what happens is you feel so good about it, you don't do it. So you find a few that will help you. You'll find a few that maybe have lost those 30 pounds. I said in January I was going to lose 39 pounds. I do not know what I was thinking. I'm down 12 pounds. I've decided I probably don't need to lose 27 more. But if I'm going to keep my goal. But see, the thing isn't to set goals. The thing is to accomplish goals that aim towards your vision. So I feel a lot better. I've done a lot of different things in my life. I've had to expose some lies and some eating habits. And my niece is right here, and she said, you need to update your picture. Your face is way chubby here. And that's like family, huh? I know, that's what 12 pounds. 8 of those come off my cheeks. So you're going to declare it, then you have to wait on it. You have to wait on it. I'm just going to go back to the part of declaring it is to join a gym, join a financial class, join a writing class, get some more education. Is to declare it means intentionally I'm going to do something towards my vision and then to wait on it. This idea of waiting is active waiting. It's not lazy. It's not even passive. Waiting often has movement in it. It's I'm going to wait, but I'm going to go in the right direction. Think about a baseball player. You know, when I played outfield in junior high and elementary, when you had to play a sport, I lazily waited for the ball. I waited till it was up in there. I waited till it was going to be around me. But a real baseball player, when they're playing the outfield, it looks like they're waiting. But they're waiting. What they're doing, they're seeing that ball thrown. They're seeing it hit. And as soon as it cracks, they're moving towards where they think it's going to be. So if we, that's waiting for us. That's waiting for people of vision. We're going to move towards where we want to be and where we think we're going to end up. So in my my career business ministry vision statement for me is I see myself speaking, coaching, and writing about how people can be their best selves. And so I found it. It took me, I did Strength Finders. It took me about 3 or 4 years to find it. I wrote it multiple times. It went in different directions. I did different things for it. So I found it. I wrote it. I'm still clarifying it. Each year I clarified it, what I want, how it looks with my faith, how it looks with my job, how it looks with my family. And I declare it by saying to people, I can help you grow. I can help you grow. I can help you change your life. And so I keep declaring it. And I'm still waiting on it because the waiting doesn't stop because there's more that I want in my life and in my ministry and what I do. All right, so turn to page 7. I'm sorry, we already did page 7. Ha ha. Okay. All right, it's page 10. I'm sorry. There's notes on the right-hand side here where I'm going to talk a little bit about why it matters to me. And about your vision, actually. Here's a few questions to ask yourself about your vision that you wrote for your 7 areas. In your vision, are you in the future? In your vision that you wrote for those 7 areas, is it a vision in the future? Vision is inherently about the future, okay? Is your vision in any area dependent upon somebody else changing their behavior? If it is, you need to change that vision. Your vision is not dependent upon any other person acting any other way. All right? You can have a solid, good life. It's not your boss's. It's not up to your boss for your job to be good because you can always change jobs. You can always, so it can't be dependent upon anyone else, okay? Upon anyone else changing. So are you in the future in your vision of these 7 things? Is your vision in any area dependent upon someone else changing? It'd be like I see my mind being at peace when my spouse quits bothering me all the time. That you can be at peace, you can choose peace. The third thing is it different than what you're currently experiencing? Vision is not based on what you're currently experiencing. Now, if it's based on I'm just now experiencing this year some success here or some hope here, and I want that 100-fold, then that's okay. But it's got to be different. Vision is inherent; it is dependent on something different. It's more, much more, exceedingly more, but it's got to be forward thinking. Honestly, your vision might be, I hope things don't change, I want to be comfortable, I want to be right here. And if that's the case, then you have a vision problem. And then another thing you have to ask yourself, is this vision based on something that I've already experienced that I want to re-experience? So if your vision says something like this, I want a job like I had 3 jobs ago. You can't have that job. It's a wrong vision. Your vision can't go back and say, I want to experience something in the past. It's got to be forward. It's got to be something new. You don't want to ever try to recreate the past. It doesn't work. And then this last one, when it comes to your vision that you've written down, would anybody, if you showed this to somebody that knew you, would they be surprised that this is the vision you have for this specific area? Would somebody say, I had no idea you wanted to start a business. I had no idea you wanted to sing at a coffee shop. What? You want better friends, closer relationships? I thought you didn't like people. What would they say if they looked at your thing? That's a good thing, by the way. If you have a vision there that your spouse or that your friends would go, I didn't know you wanted that. That means you might have tapped into something connected to your heart. Okay, now page 10. Why does this matter to me? I don't want you to write it yet, okay? But on this page, we're gonna take those seven areas, those seven vision statements that you wrote, and you can put your thumb in page seven back there. And you just flip back and forth. This is what you're gonna ask yourself. This is what it means. Why does it matter to me? Why does it matter if I lose weight? Who does it matter to? Why does it matter if I get a better job? Who does it matter to? What's different in my life if I live this vision out? What's different in my life if I live this vision out? What's better in my life if I live this vision out? Who does this vision affect besides me? Do you have a question? So we're going to be on page 7 and then page 10. Thank you. So we're not doing anything yet, but what we're going to do is we're going to take Speed Vision Cassidy. I see me and my friends. You have a vision statement there. You're going to flip over to page 10, and we're going to write some reason why does this matter to me, okay? And so why does it matter? Don't start yet. Am I happier if I'm living this vision out? Am I healthier if I'm living this vision out? Am I unhappier if I don't get this? If I don't have kids, if I don't get a better job, am I unhappier? If I don't lose 30 pounds, if I don't quit smoking, if I don't stop being mean, if I stop being mean, how does my life, why does it matter to you that you accomplish these things? All right? So once you take some time to write out why it matters. Does anybody have any questions or some quizzical looks? A question? Mm-hmm. That's okay if you do. Yeah, so I don't want you to write those questions down. Just for you, when you look at your vision statement, I want to say, why does it matter to me? Am I happier if I'm sitting around the table with friends? Yes. Am I healthier? Yes. Okay? Is my life better? Yes. So why does it matter to me? For me, it's connected to something deeper of my family, of a desire I have for intimacy. Unbeknownst to me that I had that desire for years in my life, but it would always crop up. So why does your vision that you wrote down matter to you? So if you can write one or two things for each vision on page 10, okay? All right, you got about 2 minutes left. All right, 1 minute left. Okay, take a couple more seconds to finish that up. All right, so there's two reasons typically why you can't find a why for your vision. The first is quite simple, it's not important to you. The vision is not important to you. Okay? If you can't connect it to a why, the first reason is it's just not important to you. All right? So that means you need to either dig deeper and find out if there is, or you need to find another vision for it, all right? A lot of times we write vision, like I said, that compares or competes with somebody else and has it like somebody else has it. Second reason vision, you can't find a why to your vision, is because it is so deep and it hurts so much, you're afraid to write the why. Why do you want to lose weight? Why do you want different friends? Why do you want a child? I spoke with somebody probably in their 40s, and do you want to have a kid? And they're not married. They're like, absolutely, I want kids. I'm like, I was floored, but it's like right here, they want that. They haven't stopped wanting that. Creesh and I have a 24-year-old and a 7-year-old. That's 17 years in between. We've always wanted more kids. We just weren't able to have any. Things happened, and so but that was always in our heart to still have another child. So we kept that in our heart into our mid-40s before we got Victoria. So if you don't have a strong enough why, you won't pursue the vision. If you don't have a strong enough why do you want the new job? Why do you want the more ministry? Why do you want more friends? Why do you want what you want is an important thing. Okay, so if you'll turn over to, go to the front of your book, to the iceberg principle. We're going to fill this in, the iceberg principle. We've been talking about how we want to connect the deep part of us to the practical, okay? So the very, very deep thing down here, this preferred future, ideal concept, essential self, that line down there should say dreams down, okay? Put dreams down there at the very bottom. Very bottom, right here, put dreams, okay? Right here. The very top, put habits. So you're going to have habits up here and dreams down here. Mostly, most of us operate, we talk in dreams, we live out habits. They're not connected in our lives, even though they're supposed to be. So when you see an iceberg, what do you normally see? You would see this. Zeke and I went to Alaska. We got to see some glaciers. What's shocking is the part of the glacier you actually see is tiny, even though it's as big as this room. And then you realize it goes all the way up that valley. That's not a mountain that's snowy on top. That's the top of the glacier. It's the entire valley. You're like, so it's amazing. But what happens is we live lives disconnected from our hearts. We live lives disconnected from who we want to be, who we were created to be, literally. But we're all people of habits. We're all people of habits. You, every one of you is living by habit. Whether you get to work late every day, it's on habit. It's as on purpose as you getting there on time. Whether you spend all your money and you never have any money, you're choosing to do that. It's on habit. If you save all the money, if you're like me and you can't push away from the table, or you like snacks at night at 9 o'clock, it's habit. It might be something I'm not, but I am choosing it now that I'm becoming more and more aware of it. And what happens here in this vision and goals? So we have the second line here: dreams verified and clarified is your vision part, okay? And then vision quantified is your goal part. And what we do is we connect in this area. We connect our daily habits with our heart. Wouldn't that be amazing? Mm-hmm. If you woke up every day and you started living connected to your heart, even at a job you didn't like, you could begin to connect to your heart. That you woke up on Saturday not wanting to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and binge watch something on Netflix, you know, and just go back to work on Monday. This, it connects you. So this is the language of connecting these vision and goals, all right? Next Wednesday, we're going to talk more about goals. We're going to end with goals tonight. So we have the dreams, visions, okay? The vision, write it down. I wrote it. This is a table here with people eating this table. Now I want to talk about what can I do? I have a dream for connection with other people, with other human beings, okay? Small connection, not Disneyland, all right? I have no dream for Disneyland. In fact, I would pay that $150 a day not to go to Disneyland. All right? I read a book last time I was at Disney World. I kid you not. I was there for 2 days. It was Universal. So you have your heart and here. So what can I do? I see myself around a table eating and having good conversation with friends. What are some goals I can set to make that happen? I can invite friends. Maybe I can get some friends.
Make new friends.
Get friends, make new friends. Maybe I need to save some money. Maybe I need to buy a table.
Learn how to cook.
Maybe I need to learn how to cook. That's right. Maybe I need to include game night. So it's not just awkward sitting around the table. So my play and my finances and my home, how I take care of what I do with my time begins to shift. Goal setting shifts your time, your energy, your focus, and your finances onto how. What do I do over here to make this happen, which is connected to this right here. Do you know how happy I feel when I'm at my house and I'm at that big table? That's awesome. We laugh so hard, it's and we cry, and it's a super deal. It's just I just love being right there, and it's connected to who I am, and we've created a habit of inviting people over and doing things like that. All right, so iceberg principle. Turn over to page. I love that ice cream. The ice cream. See, I'm all ready for snacks. So think about that. Connect it to your heart. So this last exercise, this number page 14, is you're gonna take those the speed vision casting on page 7, and you're gonna set some goals. So for me, I said I am going to lose X number of pounds in January. This is where some of my goals. One of my goals is I'm going to learn how to count calories. I always resisted that, and I got an app on my phone that I could scan the barcode, I can look at the restaurant, I can put my calories. I was shocked with how many calories I was eating after dinner. I mean like up to 80% of what I should be eating all day, I would eat after 9 o'clock at night. And I would constantly make bad choices every time I went out to eat. And then the second thing was I was going to hire a trainer. And I resisted that up until about August. Then I hired a trainer to help me. And I thought, oh, I didn't even take my own advice. Like, I've been working out, but it hasn't been producing. And I've been working out for 45 minutes four times a week. And now I work out less, but I'm doing it right. I'm doing it right, and I'm doing it different for me. And so those would be goals, okay? And it might be I'm going to lose 30 pounds in 90 days. That's a third of a pound a day. So it might be something very specific. I'm going to save $10,000 in 2015. All right? That would be a goal to your financial situation. I'm going to pay cash for a car. All right? So go ahead and start. You've got about 5 minutes to do that. And you don't have to finish it. But write a goal. Write a specific goal. If you need help with a goal, ask me. If you get stuck, we'll let everybody continue. If you don't immediately know a goal for an area, just skip it. Just skip it. The only wrong answers are the answers that you get from somebody else or from the resistance telling you. Or your mom's voice. Or your dad's voice. All right, 2.5 more minutes. Once again, you can do some of this week. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and find a spot there near that where you can write down. I'm going to give you three things to do this week, okay? First is we're not going to do this one, but complete page 2. Take some time to complete page 2 that says, what about this year? Would you give this year, 2014, a thumbs up or a thumbs down? If your life was a movie, how many stars would you give it on a scale of 1 to 5? If this year of your life was a movie, what genre would it be this year? Would it be drama, comedy, action, adventure? Would it so bad, would it be a horror show? I mean, what is your life? I mean, assess your life and begin to think about last year as you're thinking more about your goals in 2015 and be honest with it. You can even connect this with the fat tire of life that's right next to it. It's okay, so in this area of my life, it was really good. In this area, it was down to that hub, man. It was zero. Man, it was like even a negative. It felt so bad in that area. So meditate on it. Take some time and start bringing some closure as you go into this end of this year. Bring some closure. And what they're finding is that if you will do your goals between October and Thanksgiving, then guess what? You know what to do with your bonus money. You know what to ask for Christmas. You know what to do with your vacation time next year. You aim it at your vision. So that's why we've switched it, okay? You know what to ask for. You know what to sign up for. You know what to do as you have some extra time. The time's going to change. You're going to have 2 hours more of dark at night, which means a lot more people will watch a lot more TV, and you now know what to do with it. All right, so do page number 2. And then on page 7, keep refining your vision. You've already got it down there, so don't be afraid and cross something out. Don't be embarrassed and cross something out. But use some clear, direct language on your vision. And then the thing we just did on page 14 is put some goals in there. And next week, we're going to completely go after the goals and be very specific. We're going to talk about what a SMART goal is, and then we'll rewrite those, all of those goals you write down. We'll write very SMART goals, which is an acronym for, well, S-M-A-R-T. We'll talk about that. I want to include with somebody named Amy Mullins. I read about her a couple months ago. She is an American athlete, an actress, a fashion model who has 12 pairs of legs. Yeah, I said it, 12 pairs of legs. I was like, what? Is she like Spider-Woman? Is she like a mutant or something? And she was born with a medical condition, and before she was a year old, they cut off both of her legs right below her knees. But as a youth, she held a league record for stolen bases in softball. She raced downhill skiing while in high school. She attended Georgetown University on a full academic scholarship to the prestigious School of Foreign Service there, and she competed against able-bodied athletes in NCAA Division I track and field events. She was appointed the chief of mission for the United States at the 2012 Summer Olympics, and in 1998, she launched her career as a successful model by starting on the runway. She has 12 pairs of legs. She has a pair of legs that's a 5'8" pair of legs, and she has a pair of legs that's a 6'1" pair of legs. She has legs for running, she has legs for hiking, she has legs for the runway, and she has legs for when she's just going out with a guy. We can do amazing things and accomplish amazing things. Our goals to be an athlete, to be a champion, she's like, it's not dependent upon having legs. What? In whose world? Vision is not dependent upon what we have now. It's not dependent on what we've experienced. All the pain that she had to go through, all that stuff, it doesn't matter. We've got vision built up in us, or dreams built us in, up in us, that we want to have them come out. And she's able to change your height. You're able to change your height.